Quel'Thalas shines once again.
Hey there.
Hello.
Hi there.
Greetings.
For the good of all.
Bromkar.
Hi there.
Our destiny awaits.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
Greetings.
Hello, and welcome to Control-Alt-Wow, the podcast for those of us who love World of Warcraft and love making many alts. Today is Friday, December 21st, 2007, and this is episode 46, entitled Happy Anniversary. And today with me, as usual, is...
Galanther. Hello, everyone.
And we're both of the Earthen Ring server, although we are running around on Lithon these days as well, which is a PvP server. So sit back and listen as we talk about our favorite subject.
World of Warcraft.
So we actually recorded an episode, but then we didn't get... Well, we started an episode. We didn't get to finish it due to technical difficulties. And, like, I don't know if you can tell, but we're not in the same room today. Through this whole holiday season and going into January, we're not going to be able to be in the same room. In January, I'm going to Macworld, so... We've set up a system we hope will work, and we'd love to hear about any positive feedback. We hope the sound quality is okay. It seemed okay to me. Doesn't it seem okay to you?
It sounds much better than what it was before.
Okay, so, and this is called Happy Anniversary because almost a year ago today, a year ago on Sunday, I started this podcast. So this will be my 1 year anniversary on Sunday. So, thank you for all of you who have been listening for a year and those of you who have been joined us in the year. And thanks for Glantha for joining us. So, Glantha, what have you been doing this week or two?
Well, I have been really working on Glantha, my level 64, but I'm going to say level 65 because if he kills just 10 more ogres, he'll be level 65. But I've gotten him from level 62 to 65 in the past week.
Oh, great.
And it's all about just eyes on the prize. and just grinding. Like there's a lot of grinding that's involved. But I really did not, I don't know what Outland was like before version 2.3.
Right.
Maybe it wasn't as awesome. But there are just so many quests, and you can just basically pop one of those off, like every, 15 minutes to half an hour, and that quest is worth usually like 10 to 11,000 experience points. And, it takes about like 600,000 experience to level around this at this stage. So, you can't do 60 quests, but you can certainly do like, for every, 10 quests or 10 to 20 quests that you do, with all the grinding involved with that questing, you really end up leveling very, very fast. And there's a lot of reputation gains, and like I really see those numbers starting to tick above his head, when you see like you have gained this much experience, you have gained this much reputation, you have gained this much, and it's very, very satisfying to see all those numbers.
Well, good. And you're loving Outland. Now, one quick question. When you got into Outland, did you get rid of all of your old quests?
No, I still have like 5 quests in Black Rock Depths.
Oh.
And like, I don't want to get rid of them because some of them were like in the middle of a chain quest.
Right.
And I don't want to start the chain all over again. But at the same time, like, I just like Outland so much right now. I don't want to go back to... the plain old vanilla WoW, just to spend some time there when there's so much, new content that I've never seen before.
But, it's funny that you bring up Rockwreck BRD. If you don't mind me interrupting you just a second.
Oh, no, of course not.
I was trying to level up Millfire with Aprillion. I do the dual boxing, and, there is some EXP hit. Millfire is 50... She was 56 now. She was 55 at the time. And Aunt Relia is 61, almost 62. I mean, she's like bordering 62. And I really wanted to be able to dual box in Outland because it's, to me, that's what makes it really interesting. So I was trying to get Realfire up to 58 so she could go to Outland. And when I thought that the instances would help, so I had gotten her into BRD. And it was funny because I didn't know exactly, I had a hard time finding out where BRD was. And you know why?
Why? Because
it's not in a particular zone. It straddles Burning Steps and Searing Gorge. So, you know, you can either go on either side or the other. And unless you knew that.
Oh, and you know, another thing though too, like there's a big stone, like a meeting stone for Black Rock Spire.
Right.
Right. There's not really a meeting stone for Black Rock Depths that it's really very visible. You have to go and cross the chain. You have to cross the chain, go down in that center.
Right. And you have to go, well, not into the instance, but it's almost like going into Razor Fin Crawl to get to the meeting stone.
Yeah.
Whereas everywhere else it's outside. But people weren't understanding when I was saying I want to go to BRD. So we went in and we killed a lot of mob, got a lot of experience, and actually Realfire died. And on her way back, she fell into the lava pit there and spent forever trying to get out. And I didn't want to have to hearth home and then run back and everything.
How do you get out of the lava pit there?
You climb up to the chains. And you climb up to the center. And, of course, if you're dead, it doesn't matter because you're already dead. Imagine if you were alive, you'd soon be dead. But you climb up to the chains, and then you cross the chains over to the edge. But while she was climbing up, she ran into that dead guy, and I guess it turns out you have to be dead to get this guy's quest. There's some guy. Do you know who I'm talking about? He gives you the quest. Is it Dark Iron Legacy?
Oh, the Dark Iron Legacy, where you have to kill all the Dark Iron Dwarves.
Right. So, anyway, she ended up being able to get out and get back in. And so we're in the rest of the... Now, you know, I'm very not technical. And it's funny because I play with Asheo, who is by the book and knows all the details, and I just kind of ramble around, and I know it drives him crazy that I play this way, but it works for me. So while I was in, I don't know the name, whether I was in BRD or BRS or Ubers, but I was off the balcony. Do you know when you hop onto that balcony after you climb
down? Yes, yeah.
Which one is that?
That one is... Oh God, I don't know.
Anyway, so I think it's BRS, and we're inside. And
it is Black Rock Spire too. Yeah.
Right. And I see this question mark, and I'm thinking, oh good, there's something that I can finish, and I try to get to it, and I try over and over and over again, and every time I try, I die. So I said to Asheo, can you come in with me and help me do this quest? And she wants to know, he wants to know, what's the quest? And I'm like, well, I don't know. I just know that there's this question mark. Which, of course, is like, you know, totally and the opposite of what people like to do. So anyways, to make a long story even longer, she comes in, we battle along, and we get to this point where we're supposed to see the question mark, and it turns out that that's the end boss for the other side of the instance. So we couldn't get to him anyways, because we had to go back and through the other entrance and whatever. But we could see it because 2.3 now shows you all the question marks. So it's just one of the downfalls of the new patch. You know, it's great to be able to see all the question marks and the exclamation points, but when you have a instance that's leveled on top of another instance, it's kind of frustrating.
So you actually saw, like, there's a dragon that comes out on the ledge. Was it a dragon that you saw?
No, whatever we saw, it was somebody's, I'll tell you exactly what it was. It was some guy's thing.
The quest is called Some Guy's Thing. He wants you to go and get a thing which was left in the thing and by the place.
where those people are.
And then you'll have to kill 15 of these people in order to get to the thing.
I'm so sorry. I apologize. But anyway, so we gave that up. But to make the interesting part of this, the funny part was, I was doing all this in Ode WoW, and I figured out that this was the end content in Vanilla WoW.
Oh yes, Blackrock Spire and Blackrock Depths were those are the final dungeons.
Right, and here I am playing in it with my level 62. Just to play, which is, you know, kind of funny. And it shows you how things progress and how new people are going to, you know, see old content. I'm going to end up having to try to get in there with the group, hopefully while I'm on vacation. And so the quest that I was looking for was Black Hand's Command.
I have no idea what that is. I've never gone to Blackrock Spire. I've only been to Blackrock Depths.
And, maybe Blackrock, that's the Rise of, something else, Bills to Get, anyways, the irony thing was that at the end of all of this, I realized that I can just go to Outland with Realfire. She's got the flight path to Thralmar because she went there to train, and she can just fly from Shat. And I've been out in Outland dual boxing with Realfire and Aunt Melia. Even though she's only 56, you can still go to Outland at 56. You just can't go through the portal and you don't get all the quests. But you get the extra EXP from fighting the higher level mobs. I felt kind of silly.
Oh, yes. Well,
do you think it's cheating?
No, I don't think it's cheating. I mean, there's nothing really cheating in... There's no way to really cheat in this game unless you hack it, you know? Because it's so open that, right. I mean, there could be styles that can seem, you know, cheap, but that's not the same as cheat, if that makes any sense.
Right, yeah.
Like the people that go behind and like kind of, you know, like if you're a skinner, for example, and I do this. I mean, I play cheap shots. You know, if there's somebody going around and they're killing all of these animals that can be skinned and they're not skinning them and I happen to be around, I'll be like, okay, and I'll go around and I'll start getting all the skins, you know?
It's interesting you bring that up because I've had this happen a few times, especially in Outland. And what I have been doing is, and it happened in Stranglethorn Vale, and where I was with Skinners, and what I've been doing, and no one's actually taken me up on the offer, but I do, and I'd be interested to hear from other people if they've ever done this. I have said to them, oh, thank you for the leather. Would you like some leather? You know, because I feel that, you know, if it's within my faction. Of mm-hmm. course, if it's an alliance, I just go, ha-ha, thank you.
Yeah, you're like, suckers.
Yeah, and, you know, I have done, and I this is probably a horrible thing to do, but I have stood near an alliance character that I knew was going to skin an item, and the minute he looted it, I started skinning. But he's alliance, so it's fair game, right?
Yeah, that is fair game.
Yeah.
You know what, though? I actually... when I was in Zangomar Marsh and I was going and I was getting rid of some of like the leaders of the Naga there, I was, you know, I had a group, I had a pug, and there was a couple of Horde characters that were there. And granted, we're not on a, you know, Earthen Ring is not a PvP server, but we helped them out by killing like the Naga leader there, and then they stick around and they helped us out. So it was like very much a Christmas.
We are the world. We are the Azeroth.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's just so cute.
You know, from a distance, we all look the same, right? Right. Unless you're a Tauren, they look like a giant cow. All right. No
so
mistake.
What else have you been doing?
And then I've been sending a lot of stuff to Alaris. Like when I find stuff that I think works really well for a protection paladin, I send it, you know, from Glanther to our Alaris. There's a lot of stuff that I've been finding with Glanther that I would love to be able to use, but I don't have a character that can use it.
Right.
And because he's so high level, mm-hmm. like, I will take for example, I found the Braxia Staff of Slumber, which is actually, it's a blue staff. It's level 64. It's actually a pretty good staff for druids that are shapeshifters.
And it was BOE?
It was BOE, yep.
Oh, excellent. BOE for the win.
Yeah, but the thing is that I could make a new character, a new druid on Earthen Ring,
mm-hmm.
or I could make a new alt, put it onto the alt, and then pay $25 to move him
right, yeah.
from one server to another. Yeah. I'd love to be able to give it to, you know, my druid who's on on Lathaun.
Yeah.
But then at the same time...
I mean, plus you can't transfer to a PvP
server. Oh, yeah, you're right. You can't go to a PvP server. No, you can't. You can't go from PvP to non-PvP.
You can go from PvP to non-PvP. You can't go the other way.
Oh, okay.
The whole idea is that if you leveled up in a PvP, in a non-PvP, which is easier, then you can't go and whoop somebody's butt on a PvP server.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
But before you go any further, do you mind if I pick your brain?
No, go ahead. Pick.
You said you're what kind of a protection paladin?
I'm a protection paladin. Alaris is a protection paladin.
What's the difference?
Well, you have your retribution paladins, you have your protection paladins, then you have your holy paladins. And
wow.
you don't really see a lot of holy paladins.
And those are the ones that are mainly healers?
Yes.
Okay.
Because, and they're also called a priest with a shield. You know? They're not as effective as priests, so having a holy paladin, I suppose you could do it. And then there are people that do, but I think it's like people that like to have like a challenge. Because really, I see a lot of retribution paladins, which are the paladins that are all about dealing out damage.
So when we talk about, and you know, I'm a very noob person. I'm a career noob because I kind of wander into stuff. But when we talk about different types of any kind of race, I mean, you know, class
or anything.
We're talking about what people do with their talent trees, right?
Yes.
Okay. See, I never really grasped that part.
Yeah, and like you could be a hybrid, but be still be considered like a protection. So, for example, you could have stuff in other areas. Like I have some stuff in holy, and I have some stuff in retribution, but I'm mostly a protection paladin, which basically means I'm a tank.
Okay. And and I know there are certain ones that are good for solo playing and one for group. So tanking is probably a group person, right?
Tanking is the person is really good for groups. It's not really good for solo because it takes a long time to kill.
So you're protection.
But I'm protection because...
So you're a protection paladin.
Yes. I'm a protection paladin. I basically I'm a tank. And I have a lot of stamina, and I have a lot of armor, and it's slow going when I'm trying to kill, you know, mobs myself, but the good thing is that it's almost impossible for them to kill me unless they gang up on me. And then if they do, I can just Divine Shield and run away, and they can't do anything. That's the thing that people hate about Paladin, I think, is that they can bubble like that.
Okay.
So it's like a warrior that can't be killed.
Oh.
Drives people insane.
So if you went into go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, people usually say, like, protection paladins are the ones that people have they don't understand the most. Because, like, holy paladins, they can see that they have their use, you know? But, like, protection paladins, people say, like, why don't you just play a warrior?
Right.
You know, if you're going to be a tank, why not be a warrior?
A
because it's
going
to be so much easier. Be the real thing, yeah.
Right.
And I guess it's kind of... It's all about, like, do you want to be a mana tank, or do you want to be a rage tank?
Oh,
because,
that's interesting.
Because paladins are all about, you know, mana and trying to, you know, make sure that you have enough of it. Just kind of very much like a mage.
And so when you get gear, you probably get gear with a lot of what, intellect?
Yeah, you need to get gear with intellect, and it's weird because warriors don't care about intellect.
Right.
Like they don't need it. They can't even use it. They have no mana.
Right.
So it adds an interesting mix to the game. In fact, I think that Protection Paladins are harder to play than warriors. And sometimes it's nice to have a character that gives you a little bit of, you know, you have to have a little skill, a little bit of practice to play.
I ask all this because I'm starting to think maybe I might want to be a paladin. I do have a paladin on Earthen Ring. Her name is Capril. K-April. And she's a level 11, and she's starting to interest me. Although, one of the things I'm finding out is that I can't set up my hotkeys the way I could for a hunter.
No, you can't. It's different enough that you can't do it.
Right. There's like, because like even a hunter and a warlock, there was like, you know, your main fighting thing, your, what's that, the cast thing you do for the warlock, the power something.
Yeah.
And for number two, and then, you know, something else for number three, that would be just as, but this is kind of more difficult. Anyway, so what else have you been doing? Enough of class.
Enough of class. We're not classy people here. I've also been kind of exploring, like, what I want to do in terms of mounts, because a very wonderful, wonderful person gave me a nice loan to finally get my fast 100% speed mount. So thank you very much, Aprilian. It's very nice of you.
It was my pleasure.
But I'm already looking to the future when I'm level 70.
Right.
And I have this obsession that I want a flying hippogriff.
Oh.
But I'm going to have to be exalted with the Cenarian Expedition in order to get it. So I'm not sure how I'm going to do that, because it's very difficult to get exalted. It takes a long, long time. But it would be so worth it, I think. Because everyone has the Nether Drakes, and everyone now I see flying around on those Nether Rays.
Those big dark purple things.
Yeah.
Some of them.
They look like little flying slugs.
And you get flying at what, 70?
At level 70, right? Yeah. But it's a fast mount, though. I think it's like one of the faster mounts. I think it's one of like the 280 speed ones, which, you know, you have to dump so much gold into those. I don't understand how you can have that much gold. I really don't. Like, when someone says, like, oh, is this going to be a $2,000 mount? I'm like, a 2,000 gold mount? I'm like, 2,000 gold? It takes me days and days of grinding to get, like, 100.
The AH,
I know. But, like, you have to find, like, one item and then sell it. Like, I guess that's why, like, people have, like, items that are, like, for 1,000 gold. And I'm like, how could you afford that?
Right. But then there's always somebody that has money. Especially people that have been playing for 2 or 3 years straight, continuously, and it gives them something to, you know, have a goal. And what else?
I mean, that's about it. I'm interested to see what you've been doing, because you have so many different characters.
Well, one of the things, and I'm glad you brought off the auction house, is that's been one of the things I've been doing, is spending a lot of time with, this is Christmas, when Winter's Veil first started up, I actually made a little bit of money selling eggs and cookies on the auction house. And since then, I've been upping my pet sales, because in patch 2.3, they did bring a pet tab on the auction house under miscellaneous. You can now search for pets. Before, you just had to be specifically looking for a pet to find it. And with Christmas, I've been making a lot of money with that. And on both Lathan and Earthen Ring. And on Earthen Ring, I actually had over, I think in the past 2 weeks, I made over 300 gold. So that's been pretty good. And I've been leveling. All of a sudden, I wanted to, you know, get into Outland. It's just funny, isn't it, that you can be going along and playing the game your normal way, or doing the regular things, and all of a sudden something will get to you. And that's been leveling up. Last week, or the week before that, it was trying to get Adrian and Aprilian up, and they've been going along pretty well. Aprilian's at 38, and it's really exciting because by, the first week in January, she'll be 40, maybe even before then.
Oh, level 40, the all-important level 40.
Yes, she'll get to be she'll get a mount. And that'll be so exciting. And Adrian is still lagging behind, which is kind of funny because, you know, we always thought the hunter was the more, you know, easy button. But I have to tell you, warlocks are pretty easy, too.
Oh, warlocks, I think, are easier than hunters.
Right. You know, well, you know the biggest difference between warlocks and hunters? You don't have to feed.
Yeah. I was going to be like, warlocks are cool. No.
Yeah, they're cool, too.
Oh, I mean, the warlocks, they're very easy and they're very awesome. I think they're one of the more, like, the most awesome classes in the game, I think, just in terms of, like, what they can do. Like, Ritual of Doom, how awesome is that? That you can call down, like, one of, like, the Burning Legion. You know, you can call... Oh, it's like one of the ladder levels. Mm. But it's like this cool thing where you and three other people have to go and call down, like, one of the Burning Infernos.
Okay.
And when it comes down, it gets pissed off, and it tries to kill one of you.
Oh. Oh, and then yeah.
And then all four of you have to go and try to subdue it while you go and you tame it. I mean, it's a very involved process, but, I mean, man, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Like, you don't get that with a hunter. But, I think hunters, though, are my, you know, I think they're my favorite. But, I mean, they're not the coolest.
Right. And I've been, I switched off pets. I found an orange or dark red wolf for Real Fire in Burning Steps, and that was kind of neat. So she's got a wolf now. She had an owl. And I've kind of gotten away from... Well, lately, I know I need to go back and check out what's in her stable, but sometimes you can get hooked up on special pets or elite pets, but then you're stuck with that one, you know, especially mm-hmm. if you fill up your stable with elite pets. So what else have I been doing? I have also, I got into a very big leveling thing with, it's funny because you're going along and then you realize, oh, you know, she can make this, or I have enough material for that. And with the guild bank, I'm able to store so much stuff that it's so easy to all of a sudden realize that you can level up. And I don't know, it's there's such a release of endorphins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you make enough to get to that next level, and then you go to the trainer, and all those things, like there's multiple things that are green.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start clicking on that train thing, and it starts doing the... Jadoom, jadoom, jadoom.
Yeah. Chink, 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 chink.
It's such a big buzz, especially if you have enough gold and there's no, like, oh, sorry, you don't have enough money thing. Then it's if they could bottle that, this kind of thing, or expose it to more people, there would be less people doing drugs, I'm telling you, because this is just, you know, it's the best sensation. What else? Oh, Winter's Veil, doing all the quests, getting the cookies to all my people, and you know, Real Fire and Aunt Melia had to come back in from Outland just so they could do this quest, which is kind of neat. I guess on Christmas Day, we'll be able to go and open presents. Do you think they'll have some new presents?
I don't know. Like, that's something which I get into the Winter Veil, but, like, on, like, Christmas Day, I'm busy doing other things. And, like, if I got caught with World of Warcraft open, so bad.
Oh, how awful.
I get so much trouble. Oh. So I've never known, like, I've never opened presents in World of Warcraft before.
Oh, how awful. I didn't think about
that. I know.
That. I mean, I'm running around getting all my alts to open presents, and then I go into realms that I haven't been on in years. I mean, well, months, and I'm get them to get presents. Ooh, speaking of presents, can I diverse just one time? I hate when people talk about non-World of Warcraft stuff during World of Warcraft podcast. I mean, I'm sure that's fine and everything, and I try not to. But you know that the laptop thing where you get a laptop and you give a laptop to a kid?
Yep.
Mine came today. The 188 laptop.
Oh, you know, like the one that Nicholas Negroponte?
Yes. Yes, it came today. I haven't opened the box. I'm going to save it for Christmas, but I'm so psyched. That'll be my special Christmas. You know, it runs Linux, and it has, like, Wi-Fi, and it has a cam, and does browsing and stuff. So it's going to be kind of neat. But anyways, back to World of Warcraft. What else have I been doing? Oh, we decided to start a guild with our Alliance people. So I've been running around trying to get people to sign charters. You know, it's harder now.
Yeah, people don't want to, like, they don't want to get paid money just to sign their name. I don't understand why.
Right. Or they think, there was a discussion in guild chat for Lei Acta S. One of the, somebody wanted to, they thought, oh, I need more space. I think I'll get my alts together and start a guild. Is that an exploit? Well, we do that on Lathan, and I do it on Earthen Ring. I have, are we being served for my Horde characters? And we have two tabs. And it was funny because we were talking about this in the chat, and she was saying, well, you know, I'll just go ahead and pay. I mentioned that it's harder to get people to sign. I think mainly one thing is that people are thinking that some people are using this as an exploit, which it's not, and that some people are thinking also that maybe they want to save it for somebody else or for a particular person to use. And then I mentioned, she says, well, if I pay them one gold, it's still cheaper than buying the 25 gold, the next bag in my bank slot for 25 gold. And I guess she didn't realize you also have to pay 100 gold to get your first tab in the guild bank vault.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So it's really not. It's a great thing to have, but it's not the cheapest thing to have if you're just doing it to save money. I'm doing it mainly because I get tired of trying to figure out or remember who has money, who has what on what. And so this has been a really great way to organize stuff. And the best benefit of all is it's instantaneous transfer. And with me being able to triple box, it's great to be able to just look at, put money in on one computer, put an item in the guild vault on one computer, and it instantly shows up for the other person on the other character. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and it saves the 30 copper. For mailing stuff and time, you know, because if you're doing between accounts, it still takes an hour. So it's been good for me, but it's not for everybody. So I guess that wraps up what we've been doing, don't you think?
Wrapped up for me what I've been doing, but
Aunt Relia in Real Fire. Trishel's been, well, she's been transmuting her Arcanate bars, which is great. It's kind of funny if you don't remember every 23 hours. I remember the other day I was getting ready to go to bed, and I like to hear from any of our listeners if this has happened to you. And I was getting ready to go to bed, and I realized, Trishel has a transmute available. And I got up, and my husband says, where are you going? And it's kind of hard to say, I'm going to transmute an Arcanate bar. But I had to do it because, you know, if she doesn't use it right then and she uses it later, then it's another 23 hours that she has to wait. Don't you think that's worth it?
Yeah, I think so. And I do that too sometimes. I'm just sitting there and I'm thinking, and I'm like, oh man, I forgot I had that. Or I gotta go and do this.
Well, I have an add-on, and I think it's Titan Panel. I'm not sure which one, but there is one that will tell me on that character. If I'm on that account, it will say transmute available, even though I'm not on that character, which is kind of neat. Okay, so now we're gonna pause for a moment and go right into Winter's Veil. Okay, so now we're going to just quickly go over Winter's Veil for those of you who haven't done this. This will be my third one, I believe. Is this your third one as well?
Yep.
Yeah. And it's interesting because if you have just a few lower level characters, when I started in October of 2005, I had mostly low level characters. So I didn't get to experience the reindeer thing and the Grinch. And then last year I had mid-level to upper-level characters. Is there anything in Outland for upper-level ones? No?
Not that I could see. Like, I mean, Outland is decked out for Winter's Veil, too, but not nearly as much as
Orgrimmar. And what's that place you Alliance people like to hang out in?
Ironforge?
Yeah.
that's where is Greatfather Winter and Orgrimmar?
Right. You know, it's kind of funny. I don't know why this is different, but in Orgrimmar, you could just walk up to Great Father. In Ironforge, you have to go through those stanchions. You know what I mean?
Oh, because the Alliance are much more commercial.
Or organized, or because humans are silly.
I don't know.
So all this starts out with, first of all, give Father Winter 5 cookies and a glass of milk, gingerbread cookies, which can only be made from eggs that you can get from various, you can get from the dragon hawk?
Hatchlings.
No, they're not the hatchlings. The hatchlings are the...
Dragon hawks.
The crazed dragon hawks and the regular dragon hawks in Eversong Woods. Mm-hmm. You can get them, but not as frequently, from the swoops in Mulgore, and from those crazy ostriches birds on Azure Mist. Is there anywhere else? Oh, the owls.
Oh yes, owls as well.
Yeah, right. And some other birds. And you know, you get 5 of these eggs, and you get you gotta buy these holiday seasonings from the are they goblins? Yeah, the goblins that are in
the smoky wood pastures.
Yeah, for some reason, the Father Winter and these goblins are hand in hand. They're prospering off of the whole commercialism of Winter's Veil. And you make these cookies, and it's kind of, if you have anybody who's a low level alt who wants to level up cooking, this is a good time to do it, because mm-hmm. you can get. I actually got my one alt from like 5 to 80 just making cookies. And then you can sell the cookies. Although I didn't try to make a lot of money. I did sell the milk on the auction house, mainly because people weren't finding the milk. Plus, you know, if you have to buy 5 glasses of milk and you only need 1. And so you bring these cookies and the milk back to this guy under the Christmas tree, and he gives you a package. I don't know. Every package is like... What did you get?
I got what did I get? I got some low-level food, some alcoholic beverages.
No. That's the one you got in the mail.
Oh.
Yeah, when you first give him the cookies, you get a package with like 10 bars of copper or 4 bolts of...
Oh, yeah, you're right. You know what? It was 10 bars of copper and a fruit cake.
Yeah. Well, no. It's usually just one of the 10 bars of copper. Then he mails you a package with fruit cake and cheese and some drink, bean brew and stuff. And then a few days later, he mails you something else. Although some people did log on and find patterns. Did you do that? Did you get any patterns?
I didn't get any patterns, no.
Yeah. There's a blacksmith one, which is the Something of Winter, which is a level of 30-ish sword that gives off some snow. There's the winter's boots that the tailors get that look kind of nice with the holiday outfit. And Trishelle got some apple cider. And I guess some of it's based on your skills. Because Trishelle was a level 325 cooking recipe. And she was actually level 324. But like Real Fire, who is a leather worker, got nothing. Aunt Rilia got nothing. Somebody was complaining about one of the patterns and that it was useless or whatever, and I said, well, at least you got one. And they are bind on pickup, so you get a you get a recipe. Have you heard of these? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Like they're like a for like costume or something.
They're not a reward. They just when you logged on, certain people got recipes in their mailbox. Just a random drop based on whatever skill you had. And it was totally not having anything to do with the Winter's Veil thing. The boots were these little black boots that go with the outfits. And some people got the recipe for the holiday outfit. You got the green or the red. And it's kind of interesting because I put this outfit, this red outfit that I bought from somebody in Ironforge, on my Draenei alt. And, you know, he looks like he's Santa. And, well, actually, he looks more like he's wearing a red long johns, you know, but very Christmassy. I put the same one on my blood elf, and she's wearing a hot pants and a halter. It's kind of funny how the same outfit just kind of morphs into a different thing based on who's wearing it. So that's kind of neat. So you get that quest, and then if you look around, there's a couple of more exclamation points in the same area, depending on your level. There's one where you go to Thrall. You go to Thrall's headquarters, and you talk to somebody. It's actually the mage trainer, I think it was, mm-hmm. or the shaman trainer. And he tells you to take this book to Karn. And the book talks about all the different ways of why we celebrate Winter's Veil, which, of course, is just a thinly veiled euphemism for Christmas. And so have you done this part?
No, I've never done that before. Oh, I've never done it on the Horde side.
You need to go into Ogrimmar and do this on your Horde character.
You're on Palinor, maybe. Right.
So, and then you fly to Thunderbluff, and Karn is like all happy that you are interested in these traditions. And of course, you're just clicking, okay,
whatever. Just give me the present.
All you do is you give him the book, and he gives you some, you get some EXP. Excuse me. And Audrion, sorry about that. Audrion got a few rep points with Thunderbluff, which is funny because I'm thinking that Audrion or Aprilian does need to get up their rep with Thunderbluff and get a Kodos. There's nothing like a Blood Elf on a Kodos. Okay, so then you go back to... I end up having to go and do this and then fly back to Ogrimmar because my quest log is full, which is crazy because, you know, it's 25. Mm-hmm. It was 20, and now it's 25, and it's still full. I think if they gave us 50, we would still end up with full quest logs.
Yeah, because that's the one thing. It's like, 25 out of 25. You don't want to cancel it, but you don't want to keep it around. Like, what do, you know?
Yeah, you know, I'm almost at the point where I want to go into Outland and cancel all my old quests. But I do want to do BRD at least once. You know, I don't want to give up those quests. But... So then, when you look around, there's still another exclamation point going on in Ogrimmar, and it's the Smoky Pasture guys.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on your level, you get one or two quests. One is to go to get the Grinch in Alterac Valley. No,
Arathi Basin.
Arathi Basin, yeah. Out there where the Yetis are. And right now...
Wait, where the Yetis are?
Yeah.
No, that's Alterac Valley.
No, Alterac Valley is the... BG.
It's also Alterac Highlands.
Yeah, one of those.
Because, like, Arathi Basin is where all the raptors are.
Right, where the raptors are. So it's the one out by Taran Mill. You fly into Taran Mill, and then you...
kind of run up a little bit.
Run up a little bit, and you're into the snow and stuff. And while you're out there, there are a bunch of snowballs lying around on the ground. Did you know that?
Yes, I have seen those.
Yeah, so you could pick up some snowballs instead of buying some. Because depending on what you get on, but you don't know about this, on Winter Veil's Day, some things need snowballs. If you get a pet. I hope they change the pets. That'd be neat, you know. In fact, I still have some pets from last year. Little helpers and little reindeers and stuff. It's kind of neat. So, and then you have to go and get this guy and find this stuff. And also the other quest is the one where you go to Burning Steps, is it? Or Searing George? I always get those two confused. To find the reindeer. But you got all these clues, and they're kind of cool. What are they like on the Alliance side?
Like the little gifts and stuff?
No, the quest.
They should be the same. Like, we have, like, the reindeer. You have to go save the reindeer.
What about the one where you have to go and get the book from somebody in the Valley of Honor? You don't have that?
I don't remember that one. I mean, I think there is something where you have to go to the Explorers League in Ironforge and talk to them about, like, the heritage of what Wintervale is.
Right, yeah.
But, I mean, I did that one. I didn't do that one last year. I did that one like 2 years ago. So that one's old. I don't remember it.
Oh, so you don't do it every year?
No.
Oh, I thought you kind of had to do it every year. Otherwise, it would affect what kind of gifts you get. But then, of course, you don't open presents.
No, so.
I'm sorry, Glantha. I just. Christmas in World of Warcraft is part of my Christmas tradition. It's like hearing about a little kid who's not allowed to open up certain presents on Christmas Day.
No, it's not sad.
It's not that bad. Okay. Well, maybe if I get something special, I'll share it with you. So we'll find out what happens on Christmas Day. And if you get anything interesting or you have any input on either of these quests, the reindeer one or the Grinch one. I heard that there was a lot, the first couple of days it came out, it was really hard to get the Grinch because there were so many people trying to get him at the same time. And you say it's both Alliance and Horde?
Yep. Pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah, so I can imagine that must be kind of chaotic. You know, everybody trying to get this one person. So we'll see what happens next week. And I'm gonna get out there and get the Grinch. And
I mean, I've not seen the Horde running around out there, but I'm pretty sure they both have it.
Well, I know we have it. I know the Horde has it. I'm just wondering if you have it. I mean, if you guys have it.
Yeah, I hear people talking about the Grinch all the time. So then I guess we do. So
okay, interesting. Oh, this is funny. I'm an Ogremaw, and there's I'm with my Real Fire, who is a Tauren, and there's another wolf just like mine and with this Tauren. So I guess it's a popular pet for Taurens to have. He looks so cool. So anyway, so let's close this up, the Wintervale little section of this. And then we'll just do our closing remarks. So we'll be right back. So episode 46, our anniversary episode, one of the things I really wanted to do was give away the battle chest, and I need to hear from more people. I want to get a few more people before I decide to who the winner is going to be. And just, you know, tell us how you play, tell us what interesting things you do with your alts, and we'll, even if you want to email a MP3, we'll play it on the air, or if you just want to write something, we'll read that on the air. We're going to probably be closing this up maybe around the first week of January. How does that sound?
That sounds good. Right before you go off to Macworld. Yes,
I am going to Macworld. Anybody who is attending Macworld and, you know, wants to hook up, please email us. And that email address is controlaltwow@gmail.com. That's controlaltwow@gmail.com. You can also find us at our website, which is controlaltwow.com. And we're on Podcast Alley and iTunes. And anything else we wanted to touch on?
No, happy Winter's Vale, everyone.
Yeah, enjoy Winter's Vale. X-Play showed a trailer of Wrath of the Lynch King. It looked pretty good. Zulaman showed some of that. That looked pretty good. Have you done any of that?
No. Zulaman's tough because it's like a high level dungeon, and I'm not high enough level yet.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Well, hopefully
at this rate, in a couple weeks, hopefully I'll be.
That's what I was gonna say. You'll be level 70. All right. So this is Aprilian signing off for the Horde.
And this is Glanthus signing off for the Alliance.
Bye-bye.
Bye.